FEMS.fireprevention@dc.gov.
Welcome back, family. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Senior Zone, and I'm your host, Sean Perry. Now, earlier in the show, we sat down with Leah Myers from Legal Counsel for the Elderly to talk about the power of legal protections in aging, but now we're switching gears to something just as powerful, storytelling. Joining me now is a man on a mission, Mark DeBellis. He's the heart and mind behind the Gifts of Adversity Project, a website and movement dedicated to gathering and sharing stories of people who've overcome hardship and emerged with wisdom, grit, and purpose. His goal? To motivate, educate, and inspire future generations by showing that every challenge carries a hidden gift. Mark, welcome to The Senior Zone, my friend.
Thank you so much, Sean. It's really a pleasure to be here. What a wonderful show you have and what a great resource you've created.
Well, thank you very much, my friend. So let's just jump right into it. Let's start with the roots. Mark, what inspired the Gifts of Adversity Project? Where was there a personal moment or experience that sparked this mission?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for that question. I'm actually very grateful that I came to this point in my life when I started unpacking it. You know, you get to a point in life and you look backwards and I began asking questions in almost a clinical manner. You know, how did I get here? What were the significant milestones in my life that I passed through and led me to this place? What lessons did I learn? And I realized that as I did that I was not who I thought I was, which is kind of a crazy thing to say, but I had to come to terms with some of the things that I experienced for so long, a difficult childhood, chaos, homelessness, family, mental illness. And I just never slowed down, truthfully, to think about it and to acknowledge it. I just kept running as fast as I could as a young man and then as a professional. When I finally started to take that deep breath and look backwards, I began to see those things that I went through as a young person and realized that they were lots of adversity, but with wonderful outcomes in a strange kind of way. So in hindsight, they were all helping me mature and prepare me for other things. And, you know, we never ask for ourselves to be put in circumstances, rarely. I mean, there are brave souls that do that from time to time, but oftentimes adversity finds us when we're not looking for it. But surviving those things, and for me, looking back and, you know, literally pointing to different activities or circumstances and realizing that getting through those things certainly was no fun at the time, but it gave me skills and perspective that no other young adult would have. And that paid dividends in my future. I just never saw it. And so, you know, that led to this notion of, you know, what are those hidden gifts? And so when I continued unpacking myself, I realized as I got into adulthood that the benefits of some of those things I went through meant a richer and more colorful list of experiences that I had compared to others. So, you know, atypical, if you will. But again, I didn't see it till much later. And of course, hindsight is always 20/20. But I thought I was robbed of my adolescence, but in truth, I was really given a gift that has been very much responsible for my success in life. And I've been very happy and successful in my own way.
You know, it's often our darkest valleys that shine the brightest light forward, you know, especially in hindsight. Your site talks about how adversity holds hidden gifts, as you just mentioned. Now, for many seniors that are listening right now, life has handed out its fair share of those quote unquote gifts, some wrapped in struggle, others in loss. What are some of the most meaningful stories, Mark, you've encountered from older adults, and what lessons have stood out?
Yeah, I'm going to share a couple things with you on that. Thank you. I like to use whitewater rafting to kind of open up this type of a conversation. Okay. If you've ever gone on whitewater rafting, you'll learn what happens when you go overboard. They spend a lot of time preparation explaining, well, here's what happens if you fall overboard. You know, make sure to just keep your head up, look downstream, put your feet out in front of you, watch for boulders and trees. But they also tell you one thing that is a very important life lesson. The most important is you have to be a participant in your own rescue. Like, life is kind of like that. You know, you have to own it, whether you want it to be there or not. We have no power to change what's happened, but we just have the power to decide how we'll secure our own rescue. So it's up to us. You know, I have a friend who lost his son about 10 years ago. He's not on the site, but he told me the story about his son. He lost him when he was about 8 years old. And nobody can really find joy in that ever, I think. But that was something that he was powerless to control. But he took that pain and turned that into a purpose. He turned that into a foundation to help other kids with similar illnesses. And 10 years out from that start of that foundation, he realizes what wouldn't have happened had he taken a different approach to that. Now he's been able to contribute to the lives of these kids that have that illness. So there's silver linings in these clouds. If we look for them, we might not see them immediately, and that's the hardest part of getting through struggles. But if we have faith and we know that getting through it will happen and we believe that will happen, we will find a way to get to the other side and see it differently once we get through it. You know, famous quote from Winston Churchill says, if you're going through hell, keep going. You know, don't sit in it. Just keep going and get to the other side. So it's just some words for living.
Yeah, well, you know, those lessons don't come from books or degrees. They come from living, right? From showing up even when, you know, it hurts. You know, I love that your project isn't just about looking back. It's also about reaching forward. Why is it important, in your view, Mark, for seniors to share their stories with younger generation?
Yeah, it's very, very important. We've lost some of that in the way our culture has changed. You know, in prior generations, we had multifamily units. We cherish the wisdom of our elders. Some cultures do a better job, frankly, than we do. Americans, we just don't celebrate the senior perspective like we used to. We're just not asked, honestly. So here's the thing about those generational stories. Life is getting easier with every successive generation. You know, 100 years ago, every five-year-old was up at 5 a.m. helping his dad plow the field. Today, they're sitting in a preschool with an iPad, you know, coloring. What's lost today is the tenacity, the grit and determination of previous generations. The easier things have become as our society has evolved, the less prepared we are for difficulties. We have gotten softer. So the current generation, there's been a lot written about, it's been dubbed the anxious generation because of their constant fear that they live in. We need to, as seniors, show them that that fear is temporary, that fear can be overcome. And we do that by our examples of it. And so this site was created to really provide confidence and inspiration to younger people who may be questioning so much about their space here at this point in their life and the fear that surrounds them. We have a very high anxiety environment for the youth, but we can provide perspective as older adults. You know, it's hard. If you do the hard things when you're young, they become easier as you age. But if you avoid those things, you never mature. And that's one of my biggest fears as a society. We have to use that wisdom from our seniors to help the younger generations mature and mature well.
Yeah, you know, I raised my daughter, would always tell her, do the things you fear, and the death of fear is certain. Mm-hmm. That's a quote from Ralph Emerson Waldo, because we got to go through it, right? You just don't stay in that hell. You got to keep it moving, right? You know, when a senior shares their story, you know, Mark, you know, it's just not history, right? It can also become a legacy, right? And so let's talk about the digital side, you know, of your campaign here. Some of our listeners might be thinking, well, I've got stories, but I'm not exactly tech savvy. Right. And some aren't. How can seniors get involved with the Gifts of Adversity project, even if they aren't online at all or just a little bit?
Well, if you have an email address, then you can get my newsletter. So and to sign up, it's just like, you know, going on any website. I have a sign up for the newsletter button and you can click on that and enter your information. And if you're interested in sharing your story, I've done this several different ways. Some people have a story they want to tell that's already sort of written. Others want some help with it. So I've been co-authoring, let's call it, with somebody who wants to submit a story. So together we can identify what that story is. But I think it really starts with the intention and the passion and the desire to get that story told. And if you have that, just send me an email and we'll go from there, because that experience of talking through those stories and finding those nuggets is quite cathartic. It's really a worthwhile process.
Yeah, and with that being said, Mark, share your contact information now. We'll do it at the end, but if you have it, share it now.
Sure. My email directly is Mark, M-A-R-K, at giftsofadversity.com, just like it sounds. And the website's www.giftsofadversity.com. So please take a look.
Gotcha. Mark at giftsofadversity.com. That's his email, folks. Mark at giftsofadversity.com. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Mark, you've worked in a variety of professional settings. I've done my research, tech, finance, consulting, yet you've landed in this very heart-centered space. How has your personal or professional adversity shaped this new chapter of your life? I'm just curious.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's I was sharing the unpacking story of my life, and a few years ago, I decided to get involved with a homeless shelter food bank program that I was on the board for here, a local organization, and I finally began to acknowledge, you know, my history. I had been homeless at one time. We were homeless as a family, and it began to play on me that I needed to be part of the solution to some of these things. So that really softened my heart, I think is a great way to describe it. And it made me explore those circumstances that are created and which lead people to those outcomes. And again, with the goal of trying to provide inspiration, ideas, alternatives as a fuel for someone to see a different way to get to their goal, this site hopefully becomes some of that. One of the things I've done on the site, too, is I've provided resources as well. So if somebody happens to show up on my site who needs spiritual guidance, homeless resources, a medical support, I have a whole list of local resources, outreaches that would speak to them that they could come to. So it's if somebody's in crisis, let's say, that there's within my site place to go next. I'm not trying to be that direct support network, but I know people that can help people when they're in those circumstances. So it's a combination of providing that inspiration and literally a backstop, you know, to get to if somebody needs it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's amazing when your pain becomes someone else's permission to heal and grow. But we can only do that by sharing. Let's flip the script for a moment, Mark. In collecting all of these stories that you've been collecting, one, what have you learned? And two, what's one of the greatest gifts you've received through this work of yours?
Well, I tell you, it's been very satisfying. I've learned so much about so many people and about their journeys. I found that when people begin to tell their story, it becomes very cathartic. They go to places that they haven't been to for a while, because it's almost like a reliving of an experience, which is very, very powerful. And in a way, it becomes very freeing for them. You know, I'm not a trained psychologist or anything, so I'm not trying to fill that void. But as people share stories that are meaningful to them, that are significant to them, it also reminds them of their life and their, you know, their journey. And I think that's also valuable. So interestingly enough, when I started the site, I really wanted to maintain a neutral, I call it a secular approach. I didn't want to incorporate any faith-based components by design, because I didn't want someone who might show up to the site to feel that it wasn't the right place for them because they may not have a faith. So I wasn't trying to evangelize per se. But what I've learned, which has truthfully been, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, but it's been born out of these conversations, is how people relied on their faith when they were in their deepest, darkest times. And that came up quite often. So the lesson there, I think, is that, you know, we need to have faith all the time, but we really need God when we're in those deep, dark places and we're trying to get through to the other side. And that's when, for a lot of people, God shows up. I didn't expect that. It's not a surprise to me as somebody of faith, but I was not trying to make this site or these stories about faith per se. So I would say you asked about a surprise. That was it. So it was, I guess I would say that's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for all that you are doing. You know, for those just beginning their journey through a rough patch, a new rough patch, at this point of life, we've had several rough patches, but those that are going through a rough patch right now, maybe they've lost a spouse, retired unexpectedly, or got hit with a tough diagnosis, right? What would you say to them about the role adversity can play in their growth?
Well, it certainly is unexpected and comes at the worst time. But in those that I've talked to overcome it, there's been a universal approach to embrace it and embrace the fight, embrace the struggle. Take pride in the fight. Recognize you can't always change the outcome, but you can control your response to it. That might seem Herculean, you know, in its description, but it doesn't mean you have to be superhuman and try to avoid all those emotions that you're subject to. But you do have a choice, and that's the thing that's in the midst of that, is choosing to be bold and brave. A friend of mine who I wrote about, they're all my friends now, by the way. But I met Bill Potts through a friend of a friend whose story's on the website, and he's had 5 double diagnoses of cancer in 12 years, and he was constantly in the hospital. He was always a very fit guy, and you know, took good care of himself and so on. But each time he explained, he chose not to be a passive participant. You know, he actively pushed himself to research, challenge the doctors, evaluate alternatives. He said, I have to own this journey. And I thought that was a very powerful way. Now, here's a guy, you know, who's certainly after the fourth and now the fifth diagnosis of yet another cancer would be downtrodden and dejected. But he said, you know, I have to own this. I don't have control over it, but it's my journey. So I have to own it. And so there's this pride and courage in the midst of the fight that sort of feeds on itself, that helps you build that internal strength to be able to get up, you know, the next day and continue to fight. What he told me, which was very interesting, and I think it's helpful to everybody in our season where we're, you know, we're probably going to the doctor more than ever before in our lives, says, I have to both trust my doctors and challenge them. He found that they're not infallible. So being your own best, you know, advocate is crucial in everything, especially in the midst of, you know, adversity, because you're weakened a little bit. You know, you may not have all of your resources added. So anyway, that was, I think.
So let me ask you this, Mark, because we are nearly out of time, yes. My friend. I'm going to invite you back. But before we let you go, speak directly to our seniors out there, the ones who feel like their story doesn't matter anymore or that no one even wants to hear it. What would you say to remind them that their voice still matters?
Well, it does matter. And I would say, don't leave this planet without sharing your story. You have a unique path that only you followed, and your time on this planet and your lived experiences can be a valuable lesson to somebody, even to just one person. It may make their everything worthwhile. And don't trivialize these lessons. You've forgotten more life lessons than a 20-something has experienced. So take the time to think through those areas and recognize and acknowledge the value that they gave to you, and the value if somebody a third of your age got them today, how much more powerful their life might be because of the knowledge you've shared with them. You never know whose life you may be changing.
Yeah. Well, that's purpose in motion, and it's just never too late to share your story, share your truth. Mark, we are out of time, my friend, but I do want to thank you for not only being here, but for building a platform that honors experience, it lifts the human spirit, and it helps bridge the gap between generations through the power of storytelling. Folks, if you've got a story to tell, or you just want to read some that might light a fire in your very own soul, go visit www.giftsofadversity.com. That's www.giftsofadversity.com. You'll find courage, connection, and maybe even push you to need to share your own journey. And now, family, don't go anywhere. We're shifting into celebration with birthday shout-outs, followed by Dear Grave Woman, and of course, our Later Life Lowdown. Keep it locked right here on the Senior Zone. Mark DeBellis, my new friend, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sean. It's been a pleasure.
It's absolutely been a pleasure, and I welcome you back. Folks, this next break is brought to you by AARP-DC, your wise friend and fierce defender in Washington, D.C. We'll be right back.
Today is your day to connect with AARP in D.C. AARP is here in the District of Columbia, working hard to make it an even better place to live, work, and play for people of all ages, and you can help. Put your skills and talents to good use as an AARP volunteer, where you can help lead local events or become an advocate for the issues that matter in your community, like funding for programs that help district residents age with dignity and independence. AARP is also helping you get the most out of life. Check out their educational workshops where they can help you grow as a caregiver, find a job, and teach you about the latest technology. Or enjoy a night out at any of their exciting local events like their happy hours and free movie screenings. Today is your day to connect with your community and with AARP. So let's take on today and every day. Learn more at aarp.org/DC.
Happy birthday to you.
Welcome back, everybody. It's time to partake in our weekly tradition of honoring, recognizing, and truly celebrating some of our amazing seniors who are adding another candle to their life's cake this week. First up, we have Celebrating Tomorrow, Tuesday, August 26th. We've got Patricia Anderson Raglan turning 73 and Myrna Lee, 79. Both are right here in Washington, D.C., wishing you both a week full of peace, purpose, and a whole lot of pampering. On Wednesday, August 27th, birthday cheers go out to Vanessa Green, turning 71 from Alexandria, Virginia, and Catherine Hunter Lewis, my childhood friend, 59, celebrating down in Memphis, Tennessee. May your day be as beautiful as your spirit. On Thursday, August 28th, it's packed with celebration. Four candles going up for you. Beatrice Swan is 61 from Temple Hills, Maryland. Rashid Ali, 72, Washington, D.C. Happy birthday, Rashid. Georgetta LeBay is 74. And Theodore Maduro is 75, all representing Washington, D.C., a fantastic group. Each of you are shining examples of strength and legacy. Moving on to Friday, August 29th. Happy 69th birthday to my friend. Just saw him recently. Edwin Walker from Fort Washington, Maryland. Keep doing what you're doing, my friend. Your presence truly makes a difference. On Saturday, August 30th, we salute Mary Catherine Duff, turning 81 out of Lothian, Maryland. Mary Catherine, may your year ahead be filled with wellness and wonder. And finally, Sunday, August 31st brings us a double blessing. Sadie Smith celebrating 83 years strong in Fort Washington, Maryland. And Mark Spence turning 65, Medicare eligible out of Bowie, Maryland. You both are a living proof that age isn't just a number. It's a badge of honor to each and every one of you. Happy birthday and thank you for being the light and legacy of our community. And hey, if you'd like your birthday mentioned right here on the Senior Zone,